Did you ever play follow the leader as a kid? No? I bet you did. You do whatever the first one in line does as you follow along, right? You played follow the leader? Well, Peter thought he could follow Jesus as his leader, but it wasn't as easy as he thought it would be. Did you hear that from the lesson read this morning? Jesus told him, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." And Peter asked him, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'm willing to lay down my life for you." And Jesus said, "Are you willing to lay down your life for me? Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me 3 times. But after Jesus rose from the dead, he did meet Peter, and he told him exactly what following his Lord would look like and mean for him. And then Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." Well, this morning, let's open up the scriptures. If you would grab a Bible, if you don't have a Bible of your own, grab the one from the pew rack in front of you. The page number is listed in your bulletin. But turn to John chapter 21, beginning with verse 15, and let us together learn what it meant for Peter and what it means for us as believers in Jesus to follow the leader. You ready to follow the leader this morning? Turn in John chapter 21. I think you'll find it easier to follow along if you have that open in your Bible and grab the notes there. I think that will also make it easier for you to follow along in the message today. So reading from John chapter 21, beginning with verse 15, I read in Jesus' name. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt. One translation says, grieved, because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This is the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" And when Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die, he only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. And if every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that could be written. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that you have given to us, that we have read this morning, and teach us what it means for us to follow you as our leader. Teach us what it means to follow you in this life. Heavenly Father, would you open your word and be our teacher this morning? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we understand what Jesus is asking, as I said before, Peter thought he could follow the leader. Peter said, I'll follow you even if I have to lay down my life for you. And Jesus said, no, Peter, not going to happen, not this time. I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. Sure enough, Peter, in fact, did just that. And now after Jesus rose from the dead, he appears to Peter. And he's going to recommission him. And just like Peter denied his Lord three times, Jesus is going to ask him three times, do you love me? And three times, he's going to reaffirm the call that Peter is to be the shepherd of this new flock of Christians that is about to be birthed in some days hence and the day of Pentecost. Well, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Let's take a look at our outline there. If we're going to be following Jesus, we're going to be following as the disciples followed him, as Peter was called to follow. And to follow the leader means you emulate, you follow the example of the one who is the leader. Whatever that leader does, they do. This is meant to be the kind of relationship disciples were to have with their rabbi in those days. And that's what they were doing for 3 years. They were living with and following Jesus wherever he went on his travels around Israel, ancient Israel. And they were eating with him, and they were listening to him, and beginning to follow his example. But it wasn't easy. And Peter, many times, Peter failed in that. So what was it going to take for Peter to follow Jesus as the leader? What is it going to take for us to follow Jesus as the leader? And the first thing we're going to find out is it requires love. We are to follow in love. Three times, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? And God is asking us the same question, do you love me? And not just, do you have a fond affection for me, or would you give me a like on Facebook? That's ubiquitous in our culture today. But he is asking, are you willing to give your whole life in following me? Are you truly willing to give all of yourself? Can I have all of you, heart, soul, body, mind, strength? Will you love me with all that you have? Will you love me with all that you have? It's interesting, back in John chapter 13, which was read earlier in the worship, Jesus said, where I'm going, you're not going to be able to follow now. And right in the middle of that little episode, right in the middle of that dialogue, Jesus said to them, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Well, sandwiched right in this idea that they can't follow now, but they will follow later, is this idea of how are we going to follow Jesus? We're going to follow him in love. That's what it means to follow Jesus, to follow him as the leader, is that we do that by loving one another. Jesus set the example. As I have loved you, so you love one another. He said it again in John chapter 15, verse 9. It says, as the Father has loved me, Jesus said, so I have loved you. Now abide, remain, stay in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is my commandment, that you love one another. It was in the same passage that Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friend. Jesus demonstrated that love to the uttermost. And he calls us to love him in return, and we love Jesus by loving others. we follow in love. So we're following our leader. He set the example. And it says, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So we are to follow in love. Secondly, and this is a little harder to pull out of this passage, but we are to follow by grace. We are to follow by grace. The book of John begins and is framed by this idea of God's grace. God giving his favor to us undeserving people. Grace is getting something you don't deserve, you can't earn. It's something that comes as a gift. The Bible says, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Peter experienced God's grace in this passage. Because Peter had denied Jesus three times, it still hung over him. And now Jesus is saying, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Then tend my flock. Do you love me? Then feed my lambs. He is recommissioning him. Jesus never lost faith in Peter, even though Peter disowned him three times. And so grace is infused in all of this. At the very beginning of the book of John, we read, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace. And from his fullness we have all received, and it's literally grace for grace, grace upon grace. Overflowing grace to us, overflowing favor that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We might think that following the leader is going to be based on performance. I mean, isn't that how we did it when we were kids? You know, oh, you didn't do the right thing, you're out. All right, if you play Simon Says, and you don't do the right thing, you're out. If you're playing follow the leader, if you're really with a group of people that said, no, you're not following right, you got to sit this one out. We think of following as performance, that we got to do it right. But we are told, and Peter is the perfect example of one, who often didn't do it right, but God still was with Peter and still allowed Peter to follow, even imperfectly. And eventually, Peter got it pretty good. Once the resurrection happened, once Peter really got hold of what he was supposed to do, I mean, the very first sermon that he gave, and this was a fisherman, he wasn't schooled in theology, and he didn't go to college for public speaking, and yet his first message, 3,000 people came to the Lord, were saved that day through Peter's proclamation of the word. That's feeding the sheep. And then it continues on. So Peter got hold of what this means to live by grace. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Christian pastor, theologian during the Second World War. He ended up being a martyr for his faith. But he talks about grace, talks about cheap grace, grace that is the preaching of forgiveness without repentance, the preaching of grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. And he compares that with costly grace. Costly grace is the treasure of great price. Costly grace is the kingly rule of Jesus Christ in our life. Costly grace is the disciples leaving their nets and following Jesus. He goes on to say this, such grace is costly because it calls us to follow. And it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs a person his life. And it is grace because it gives one the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin, but it is grace because it justifies the sinner. And above all, it is costly because it costs God the life of his Son. And what costs God much cannot be cheap for us. Above all, it is grace because God did not reckon his Son too dear a price to pay for our life, but delivered him up for us. costly grace. We are to follow in love. We are to follow by grace. Peter again and again faltered and failed. You remember that time when they were in the boat and there was a big storm, and this is the time Jesus came walking on the water. And Peter, impetuous Peter, says, "Lord, if it's really you, command me to come out to you." Jesus said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water. What happened then? He started looking at the wind and the waves, and he took his eyes off Jesus. It began to sink. Jesus reached out, grabbed his hand, and what did he say in Matthew 14, 31? "Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And then there was the time when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it says that Jesus took Peter, James, and John away by themselves. And he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." And he went a little bit farther and prayed. He came back and they were asleep. He returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. And then, of course, there was the time where he denied him three times. Again and again, Peter is falling flat on his faith. You know, he's just time and again, "I'm failing." But time and time again, Jesus calls Peter to follow him, and it is because of grace. And time again, we're going to falter and we're going to fail, but he calls us to follow him in faith. And that walk of faith is by grace alone. It's not based on our performance. It's based on God's power and God's love for us and God's forgiveness of us when we falter and fail. There's more verses there, and you can look those up. Thirdly, to follow Jesus is to follow with the calling he has given to us. And that calling is going to be different for each one of us. For Peter, it was a calling to be the shepherd of the flock, to be the one who would feed the sheep through the word of God, who would watch over that flock and rebuke the sheep if they need to be. And he took on that calling. But then Peter was saying, "Well, what about this guy over here? What about John?" And Jesus said, "Well, what's that to you? You follow me." And we often tend to want to look at other people and say, "Well, I think they're calling. I'd rather do their calling." Well, John had a calling of his own. Peter was called to end up giving his life as a martyr for the Lord. John's calling was to live as a witness for Jesus until his old age. And he was the last of the apostles to be alive, and the last of the writers of the gospel to pen the truth about Jesus. And so each one's calling is unique. The Bible clearly calls us in discipleship to follow him. In John 17, 4, Jesus talked about his own calling. Jesus prays to the Father and says, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." Jesus fulfilled his calling, the work that the Father had given him to do, and now we are to fulfill our calling as we follow Jesus in what God has called us to do. And so in 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, "God saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Jesus Christ before the ages began." So we are called to a holy calling. And for us, part of God's calling is as a mother or a dad or as a teacher or as an employee. All of those are part of God's calling. And whatever we do, the Bible says, whatever we do, even when we eat or drink or whatever we do it all for the glory of God. Everything we do can be done to his glory. Which brings to the last point is, whatever you do, as you follow Jesus, we're going to do it to the glory of God. So we are to follow in love. We are to follow by his grace. We are to follow according to his calling. And wherever God has put you, you can be pretty sure that's part of your calling. And God wants to use you in whatever situation he places you. And sometimes he gives special callings as a pastor or as a Sunday school teacher or as an elder of a church. There are special things that God might call you to do. But whatever you are doing, you are to be a witness for Jesus Christ and do it for the glory of God. And so finally, Jesus told Peter that he would end up giving his life as a martyr. Jesus said, where I'm going, you can't come now, but you'll come later. Jesus was going to the cross when he said that. Later, Peter, according to tradition, would die on a cross also. He would follow his Lord in giving his life for his Lord. But he would do it for God's glory. It says, and Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Peter would glorify God in his death. He would glorify God with his life. John would glorify God in his testimony and writing these truths down in the gospel that we have today. The important thing is not whether God calls us to die for him, and he might. There are Christians around the world. Just this week in Nigeria, many Christians, because of their faith in Jesus Christ, were just slaughtered. They died as a martyr for their faith. If God is not calling you to die for him, I'll guarantee this. If you're a believer in him and a follower of Jesus Christ, he is calling you to live for him as a testimony to him. He is calling you to follow him just as Peter was called to follow, just as John followed. We are also called to follow him. Follow him in giving all of our life and all of our resources to serving him wherever he asks us to do. Do we love him? Have we received his grace? Will we use whatever calling gifts God has used in us to do to follow Jesus? And finally, will we do it for his glory? Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word for us. And Lord, thank you that Jesus calls us just as he called the first disciples to follow him. Lord, may we indeed follow you as our leader. And we know we can't do that in our own strength. We can't do that by our own ability. We can only do it by your grace, your help for us, and faith in you. And so, Father, even as you've loved us, may we love you and one another. And even as you've shown grace to us, may we follow in that grace and give grace to others. And Lord Jesus, just as you came to fulfill your Father's calling, you give us a holy calling that we might follow you and serve you in this life. And then, Father, whatever we do, may we live and do it for your glory, not seeking our own glory, but seeking your glory in all that we do. Father, if there's anyone here today that's never received Jesus Christ, has never answered that call to follow you, I pray this morning that in their heart they would hear your call. Just as you call us through this gospel, this good news about what Jesus Christ has done for us, that he has died for our sins, that he has been raised from the dead, and that he desires to live within us and empower us to live for him. Father, if there's anyone here today that's not heard that call, who've not responded to that call, may they cry out to you even now, Lord Jesus, I do know that I'm a sinner, and I need you as my Savior. I do believe you died on the cross to forgive my sin, that you rose from the dead so that just as you live, I too can live a new life now and an eternal life forever. I ask you to come into my heart and into my life as my Savior and Lord. And may I follow you as you grant me the grace and the strength and the faith to do so. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.